Joining us now in the studio is Kathy Leichter. She's one of the co-founders of Mint Leaf Productions and the co-director of the film A Day's Work, A Day's Pay. Kathy, welcome to Counterspin.
Thanks, Peter. Nice to be here.
Now, let's start with the film. What is the film about and what drew you to this subject?
The film, A Day's Work, A Day's Pay, follows three individuals who are on welfare in New York City and who are in the workfare program having to work for their welfare check. And the film really tracks these individuals, takes a look at their lives and them as people, but it also really tracks their political education and their process of becoming community leaders in trying to either end workfare or change it to provide workplace protections and to make the program more responsive to people's needs. So it's really an inspiring story of people fighting against the injustices that they face in their lives.
And how much of a factor was mainstream media coverage of workfare when you were getting involved in this? I remember very vividly watching a 2020 segment where John Stossel gathered workfare participants in New York City together to interview them and shook the Help Wanted ads at them as if to show that good jobs were out there for the taking. Did that serve as sort of a source of inspiration or anger for you through the filmmaking process?
Well, we were definitely aware of that piece when we were making the film and tried to get it into the movie as something to say, look at how ridiculous the mainstream media's portrayal is of people on welfare. Look at how wrong it is and how off it is. The portrayal of people on welfare in the mainstream media and by many politicians, you know, including President Clinton at the time, was so inaccurate and was enraging to us in so many ways because we said this is ridiculous. You know, there are so many stereotypes being put out there by very powerful means of information that we wanted to make a film that would say, no, actually, here's another perspective on people who are poor. They're educated, they're smart, they've actually had jobs in the past, they're working very hard, whether they're actually working at a paid job or they're single mothers. They're eager to work if they want to or they want to take care of their children. I mean, they're not lazy, they're not just sitting home collecting a check, they're not frauding the system. But there are all these stereotypes that were being put out there for a variety of reasons, and there really weren't any films that were really portraying these people in a way that we felt they should be portrayed. Or if there were, there were very few films that were showing people on welfare who were fighting the system and trying to change it. There were some films out there, and some have been made since we started making the movie in 97, that portrayed people on welfare as victims of a terribly oppressive system. But those films made the people look helpless, like, oh, these poor people, they can't do anything. And, you know, oh, the system is so mean to them. And, oh, they're so, you know, they're having so much trouble making ends meet. But we wanted to make a movie that said, actually, here are people who are doing something about their situation. And here are some people who are very powerful. And I think our film is threatening to some people because of that.
Yeah, I remember the one scene in the Stossel interview, or the segment where he kept calling it a first job for people as if these people had never worked a day in their life.
Right.
What's interesting about the film is that it's sort of had a second life as an organizing tool through something called the Workfare Media Initiative. Tell us about how that happened and how it works.
Well, my partner who co-directed the movie with me, Jonathan Skernick, and I, from the beginning when we started making the film, knew that we wanted to distribute it outside of public television. It was fantastic. The film was shown on PBS all across the country, but we really wanted to reach outside of the television box and outside of somebody's home viewing experience and use the movie as a way to educate and to organize people and to inspire action. So right from the beginning, we thought, okay, how can we get this movie out there into the community? And what we ended up doing was creating the Workfare Media Initiative, which trains individuals who are community organizers already, who are people who've been on welfare or who are on welfare now. So we trained 7 women and 1 man to be what we're calling media organizers. They spent 2 nights a week for 2 hours for 12 weeks. I mean, a really intensive training session. They learned how to facilitate discussions showing the movie. They learned how to do conflict resolution if, you know, difficult things came up in the screenings. They learned media literacy, how to critique media. And now they go out and show the movie to community organizations, to welfare recipients, to church groups, to synagogues, to policymakers, to academics, to university students, to high school students. I mean, we're really trying to use the movie amongst a variety of audiences, either to raise awareness about workfare and current welfare reforms and things that Congress is debating right now, or in the next year, but also we're trying to inspire action. So amongst audiences such as union workers and welfare recipients, we're trying to say, look at this issue, look at these people fighting against this issue, come do something with them, come get involved.
Now, obviously, the film takes place in New York City, and it's focused on the New York City program. Have the screenings happened outside New York, and have the audiences been able to kind of relate the New York experience to their own experience?
Very much so. I mean, Jonathan, my partner, just did a screening in Wyoming where he had individuals who are on welfare there and activists, advocates who are also, you know, organizing for welfare rights. And this is a rural community. And he thought, oh my, you know, is the film going to play? It's such a New York-y movie, all these scenes of the subway and this and that. And people love the movie. And he actually discovered that their workfare program is not dissimilar from New York. So, you know, it played in Wyoming. I showed it out in Stanford at the law school. We've done a variety of screenings across the country, and they've been really successful. So we're actually hoping to expand our program nationally and target 4 different cities across the country and do screenings there.
Although the filmmaking process is obviously very different than doing day-to-day journalism or newspaper reporting, what would you say you've learned about the participants in the Welfare to Work program that could be useful to journalists who cover this subject? Were there things that you thought, this is a story that could be translated into newspaper reporting or could be on the television?
It's a really good question. I think that one of the things I learned, and I actually fell into this trap as a media maker and as a journalist, is that there's a huge emphasis on work in this country, and that people on welfare should work and get a paid job. And I'm actually a mother, and I saw how much, you know, women who have children are actually working, you know, and yet there's this emphasis that no, these people have to be working in a job. They have to be cleaning the streets or doing sanitation or working in the parks, whatever it is. That's much better than staying home and being with your child. And as I said, I fell into this trap too, because our film is very much about working and workfare and how to change the program and how to create living wage jobs for welfare recipients. But, you know, the question of, like, what is the value, what is the meaning of work in our society, and why do we place such a value on it and work in a certain kind of way? Because there are a lot of other kinds of work that people do that aren't necessarily validated. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very interesting angle that we really didn't cover in the movie.
Well, how can people get in touch with you to organize their own screenings of the film?
People should definitely contact me, Kathy Leichter, at 212-952-0121, extension 224. And I can also be reached via email at kathy@mintleafproductions.com.
We've been speaking with Kathy Leichter. You can find out more about the film A Day's Work, A Day's Pay at www.mintleafproductions, that's all one word, .com. If you want to schedule a screening of the film, you can call Kathy at 212-952-0121. Her direct extension is 224, or send her an email at Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at mintleafproductions.com. Kathy, thanks so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thanks, Peter.